Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, for all that you are. Lord, you are great. And Father, we've been reminded, sung some praises to you tonight, Lord, of your greatness, of your goodness. Lord, of your mercy, your kindness to us. Father, we bless your name. Thank you, Lord, for this beginning here in Inverness. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's gathered here tonight. Father, as we look at your word for a few minutes together, Lord, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would touch lives. Lord, that you would do a work in the hearts and lives of people. Lord, we need to hear your voice tonight. And so, Lord, we look to you, Father, for a word and for help. And Lord, that you would touch this community and that you would just unite our hearts together, Lord, in love for you, in love for one another, and for the people of Inverness. And so, Father, we just pray for this village once again, Lord, that you would pour out a blessing here, that you would do mighty things, Lord, that are equal to your name. And so, Father, we commit our time to you tonight and we bless you together. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to be in Luke chapter 15 tonight, and many of us know this story as the prodigal son or the lost son, but it's a beautiful story of reconciliation. And so I wanted to just spend a few minutes tonight, and I know our time is going fast, so we'll try to condense it a little bit, try not to keep you too late tonight. But we're going to be in Luke chapter 15, and we're going to begin reading in verse 11. And I just want to read the first three verses together here, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Then he said, the Lord Jesus here was giving this story. He says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living or wasteful living. So we got quite a young man here. I mean, he's coming to his dad, and I don't know what age he is. It doesn't say, but, you know, perhaps late teens, early 20s, don't know. But he comes to dad and says, Dad, give me what's mine. I want my part of the inheritance right now. It was rather bold, rather selfish in many ways, but his father complied with the request. And in those days, of course, a father would divide his inheritance among his sons, and so he does that, and he gives this young man all this inheritance that's coming to him. And this young man, not many days after that, he gathers everything up. He goes to a far country, and there he wastes his possessions. You know, he had everything that he could need in his father's house, no doubt. He had provisions, he had a home, he had a father, he had a family. But that wasn't good enough for him. He felt he was missing out on something in this world, and his heart was drawn to something other than what he had. And you know, I grew up in a loving home. And my parents loved me. My parents raised us in a church, and you know, we weren't rich people, but we never lacked for food, and we had all the things that a child could want. I had a very happy childhood. But in my teenage years, I too, my heart became allured by the things of this world, and somehow I thought, well, this, you know, all this loving family stuff isn't enough. There's more out there for me, and I wanted to go chase after that. And that's what's going through here in this young man's heart. He's gripped by the world. He wants more. He wants more than a boring life at home. And, you know, for me, that was getting into drugs and to drinking to excess and the whole party atmosphere. You know, that loving environment I grew up in wasn't enough for me. Somehow there was more out there to go after, and so I got into it in my high school years. And so this story is very relevant, even in our day. 2,000 years later, this story is very relevant. Many of us can relate to this story, right? We've gone out. It reminds us what the Bible says in Isaiah 53. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And that's a good description of mankind in general, right? We've turned our back on God. We've gone our own way. We've gone astray, and we're going to do things our way. It's my life after all. Nobody will tell me how to live it. I'm going to live it my way. And so we go off and we do our own thing. It also reminds us, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we're kind of in this boat, and we can relate to this young man who says, give me all that's mine. And he goes away, and he runs off, and he wastes it with wasteful living. We're a lot, in some ways, some of us are like this young man. And there's many people today that are. We've neglected God, and we've decided to live life our way. Well, that's the condition of man. But let's go on in our story in verse 14 through 16. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want, in need. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. So now the money's gone. The party's over. And I'm sure that when this young man set out from home, there was no thought in his mind that this would be his end. I'm sure he was not thinking, well, When I head out of here, I'm heading for a lifestyle of fun and fulfillment, and I'm going to find all of my dreams out there somewhere on the highway, and it's all going to be great. And I'm sure he never dreamed when he left home that he'd be in this position wanting to eat what the pigs are eating. But he doesn't even have enough to do that. All his friends are gone now. The party's over. The money's gone. The friends have left. And that's his situation. And someone has said, you know, that sin will take you farther than you ever possibly imagined that it will. And it's a very true statement. You know, it's something that we can't control as people. It controls us. And we're playing a fool's game if we think that we can somehow, you know, toy around the edges with sin, or that we can just kind of take matters into our own hand, but it will master us. It's something we can't control. It ensnares us, and it will ultimately destroy us and ruin our lives, not only in this life, but for all of eternity, if it has its full course in our life. And when we turn from God to ourselves, the result is never good. Addiction, abuse, stress, anger, bitterness, violence, disease, broken relationships are the fruit, are the result of us choosing our own path in this life, of going our own way, of turning our backs on God. And that's bad enough, friends, the results of this life, but there's something far worse than that that the Bible talks about. And that's the negative side of our story, but we must tell it. James says that sin, when it gives birth, it is full grown, it brings forth death. And the wages of sin is death, the Bible declares. The soul that sins, it shall die. And the reality is, even though it's not a popular message in our day today, the truth of the matter is that those that reject the Lord and that do not seek his forgiveness will spend an eternity in hell. And that's a terrible reality that we must understand. It's not only the results of sin in this life, but it goes on for eternity if we reject the Lord. We reject his offer of forgiveness and mercy. And this young man thought his life was going to be so great. Nobody would tell him how to live. You know, I just finished reading a book called The Case for Grace by Lee Strobel. If you have a chance to read it, I highly recommend it. And he documents the stories of several people who are amazing examples of the grace of God and how he changed their lives. And he tells the story of a man who was a nurse. He had a good job. He had good money. He, you know, was educated. But he decided at one point in his life to start selling drugs on the side to make extra money. And that went well for a while, but eventually he was tempted to stick the needle in his own arm, and that began his downhill slide into oblivion. And a few years later, this man was so low because he could not control the drugs. The drugs began to control him. He lost everything. He lost his job, his career, his home, his money. And here he was. He was literally in a dumpster in the city of Las Vegas, out behind a restaurant somewhere, picking through the trash, trying to find a scrap to eat. And when he was in that moment, you know, the truth kind of dawned on him, and he realized what a mess he had made. It was a hopeless situation. We're going to come back to his story in a minute. We're not going to finish with it there, okay? But the point is that sin will take you farther than you think. If you turn your back on God, if you go your own way, the result will not be good. There's a price to be paid. Well, let's go on in our story. Verse 17, it says, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father." You see, it took this young man hitting rock bottom before the truth dawned on his heart. And when he was finally in that place, all the money was gone, all the friends were gone, all the fun and the excitement was gone, and he was left there wallowing with the pigs, it finally dawned on him that he had made a terrible mistake, you see. And that man in Las Vegas, when he was in that dumpster, he came to that point as well. And he understood that he needed help, that he couldn't make it alone. This young man finally realized now that he needed the very one that he had used and forsaken, and had left behind. That very father, "Dad, give me everything, I'm out of here. I got things to do, places to go, people to see." He finally realizes now, "I am in the wrong, and it is my father that I need to go back to." He has a moment of reckoning. And sometimes we have to get low in life before the Lord will, you know, allow us to go through difficult things to open our eyes to truth and to reality. And that's certainly been the truth in my life. And I can testify to that, even as a Christian. as one of the Lord's people. I remember 10, 11 years ago, some of you know the story. But I hit rock bottom financially, and I was in discussions for bankruptcy and facing losing everything. And I can recall a day I was driving down the road in my car, and my heart was still hardened. And I remember pointing up to heaven and saying, "You promised to provide for me, and you didn't do it." And I charged God, you see, with my problem financially, but it wasn't true. It took the Lord to take me right down to the very bottom before I could finally see that, "Mark, the problem is you, son. You know, you're the one that has overspent, and you're wasting your money." And the Lord brought me to that point, but only through near bankruptcy, you see, because my heart was hardened. And this young man had to hit rock bottom, and that man in Las Vegas had to hit rock bottom in his case to see that and to understand his need. And I want you to notice three things about this young man in his understanding here. First, he realized that he was in the wrong. He said, "I have sinned." He understood that. He came to that recognition that he himself was the one who had made the wrong decision. He was in the wrong, and you and I are in the wrong. Number two, he humbled himself. He says, "I'm no longer worthy to be called a son. I'm just going to go back and ask if I can be a servant." That's the place of humility. And then the third thing was, he actually went back to his father. You see, now we're going to come more in the story, but there was three key things that happened in this young man's heart. Recognition of his need, that he was the sinner. Two, he humbled himself. Three, he made a move back towards his father. And if we're going to realize God's forgiveness in our life and restoration, we're going to need to get into the same place. The Lord's going to have to bring our hearts to that same place to realize that we need Savior. There's many people driving by right now on the street, many people that you know, perhaps you hear this evening, that think, "Well, I don't really need God. I'm doing just fine without him. Thank you very much." All kinds of people in this world that think that's a waste of time. And we're going to have to come to the place in our lives where we recognize that we have sinned against God, that we've turned away from him. And we need to humble ourselves and return to the only one who can save us. Jesus said this when he was here on this earth. He says, "I tell you, unless you repent, you will likewise perish." This is the truth. And so God calls all men everywhere to repent. And what does that mean? It simply means where this young man came to in his heart. He understood he sinned. He humbled himself and he returned to his father. We need to turn from our sin and turn back to God. And Jesus says, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So we have to come to that place too. Well, let's carry on in our story to verse 20. In Luke 15, 20, it says, "And he," that's the young man, "rose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." What a precious story. Notice the father's response. Isn't it beautiful? I mean, here's the son coming. Even when he's a long way off, the father sees him. The father's looking for him. He's searching the horizon. "Perhaps today my son will come back to me." What a beautiful picture of our God in heaven. And sometimes I wonder, what view do we have of God? Listen to what Psalm 86, verse 5 says. "Lord, you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." The Lord is ready to forgive, and he's abundant in mercy to anyone who will call upon him. He's not, you know, way up there, far from us, austere and distant and doesn't care. He's ready and willing to forgive if we call upon his name. Listen to what Isaiah 55, verse 7 says. It says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." God's in the forgiveness business. And he will abundantly pardon us as we turn to him. The father was looking for his son. He was scanning the horizon. And God is looking for people everywhere in this world right now. For those of us, if you're here tonight and you don't know God, he's looking for you too. He's seeking you. And he wants you to come home. And that's the whole purpose that Jesus came into this world. Jesus said this. He says, "The Son of Man," that's Jesus, "has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's why Jesus came into this world. To seek and to save that which was lost. Just like this young man. Just like you and me before we know the Lord. And of course, we're reminded of one of our favorite verses, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Father is seeking the Son, and God is seeking us. And whatever is going on in your life, God loves you and wants you to come home. That's the message, friends. This is the message that we proclaim. It's the message we want to share with the people of Inverness. That God is seeking for you to come to him. And that's the whole context of Luke 15. We don't have time to go into it tonight, but if you go back up in the first half of Luke, the Lord Jesus is speaking to people, and it says that sinners were coming to him to hear what he had to say. And the Pharisees didn't like that. And so the Lord says, well, which man of you, you know, has a sheep that's lost and doesn't go out and seek it? And when he finds it, he brings it home with joy, invites all the neighbors, says, I found my sheep. And the Lord Jesus said, there's more joy and rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over many righteous who need no repentance. And so we want to be in the business of causing rejoicing and celebration in the presence of God with the angels. Because every time someone comes home to the Lord, there's glory in heaven and rejoicing and praise to God. Whatever's going on in your life, God loves you. He wants you to come home. And you know what? You don't have to live under the power of sin. Sometimes we think that. Sometimes we think, I'm too deep. I can't get out of my situation. And this man who was in the dumpster in Las Vegas, he was hooked on the hard stuff, you know, crack, cocaine, and heroin. And for him, as far as he was concerned, when he was in that trash can, he says, you know what? He says, not only am I in a trash can, he says, because I am trash. And I just should die and go away. Nobody cares about me, and my situation is hopeless. I'm hooked on these drugs. I can't get off them. But you know what? Whoever you are tonight, you are not hopeless, for Jesus is in the transformation business. And the Lord Jesus can change you and make everything new. And we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the Lord Jesus can deliver us from our sin and from whatever bondage that we are under in this life. There is nothing too great for him. And the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, you know, earlier we read that first part of Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way, but there's more to that verse, and I'm sure a lot of you know what it is. So let's read the rest of that verse. It says, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. The Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity, the sin of us all. Isaiah 53, verse 5, it says, but he, that's Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. You see, that's why Jesus came into this world, to save people, to rescue us, and to bear our sin and shame before God, and to pay the penalty for our sin. That's what the cross was all about. That's why Jesus came into this world. He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And he did that by taking on himself willingly the burden of my sin, the penalty of your sin. And he bore that before God perfectly on the cross, paid for it in full. And now he offers us forgiveness through faith. Simply by taking him by faith. What a precious gift. It's a free gift of God. But we've got to take it for it to be effective. If I offer you a gift at Christmas time and I come over to your house and I have a beautiful gift and I, you know, I come over here and I wrap it all up nice and pretty like and I hand it to you, but he doesn't take it, well, it doesn't do him any good, does it? He's got to take it from me to get the benefit of that gift. You can keep it, by the way. No. Right? And God offers to us a free gift. Jesus paid the debt for our sins on the cross. He now offers us forgiveness through faith. We've got to take it. We must receive it. We've got to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. We've got to come to that place in our life where we can say, yes, God, I have sinned against you. It's my fault. But Lord, I seek your mercy. I seek your forgiveness. I want to come home to you. I want to be saved. I want you to be the Lord of my life. And he will abundantly pardon everything we've ever done. Don't ever think you're beyond the grace of God. There is no one beyond the grace of God. He loves every one of you. He loves us all. And this son showed true repentance. But not only did the father forgive this son, but he restores his sonship and lavishes on him. And I want you to notice that, right? I mean, the father could have said, okay, deal accepted after all. I mean, you did waste all my money, so get out there with the servants and get washing the, you know, the barn. But that's not what he did. And he would have been just to do that, right? No, that's not what he did. He says, no, he restores him to sonship. And not only that, he puts a robe on him, which is a symbol of great honor. Not only that, he kills the fatted calf. They were going to have some real good prime steaks that night. And they have a party, and they make merry. And the father lavishes on this one. Not only does he forgive, but he restores. And we read in Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Beloved, we have so much in the Lord. He who did not spare his own son, Romans 8, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see, God lavishes upon his people when we come back to him, when we repent, when we turn from our sin, when we ask the Lord to forgive us. He not only forgives us, but he restores us into his family. We become children of God, and we become inheritors of all the blessings of God. Not only in this life, but for the life which is to come, for all of eternity. And the Lord Jesus said that he who comes to me, I will in no wise ever cast out. We are secure in him. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, no matter what happens in your life. From that point on, the Lord is with us, and we belong to him, and nothing can separate us from his love. And that's the hope that we have. It's not an empty and a vain hope like this world, but we know with certainty, and I can say, and so can you if you know the Lord, when you put your head on your pillow tonight, that I have a home in heaven, I belong to Jesus Christ, nothing will ever separate me from his love. Praise the Lord. Set free. Set free from the power of sin, both now and for all eternity through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Father receives the Son back, and he goes way beyond just basic forgiveness, which is beautiful in itself. Praise the Lord. But the Lord lavishes upon us and loves us beyond measure. And so this is a beautiful story of reconciliation. And we're probably just going to leave it right there for tonight and just entrust that to the Lord and to your hearts. And yeah, and that's the message we want to proclaim as we're coming here to Inverness, a message of reconciliation. The Bible says, be reconciled to God. He's calling us to come home, and he can save you tonight. If you're here tonight and you don't know him, you can. You do not have to leave these doors without knowing God. And if you'd like to know more about that, you can talk to me after. You can talk to Pierre. You can talk to Hugh. You can talk to a number of the men here and ladies, and we want to share with you more about the good news of Jesus Christ. So we're just going to pray now, and I guess we'll wrap it up. So we'll just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this evening. What a blessing it's been to be together with many people. And again, Father, we just ask your blessing on each one that's come. Lord, that, Father, you would just continue your work here in Inverness, Lord. We bless your name. We praise you, Father. Lord, we just pray you would again just speak to hearts tonight. May the word of God find its mark, Lord, in all of our hearts and all of our lives tonight. And Father, would you just encourage us to, Lord, Father, just share this with our friends, with our neighbors, with the people that you bring us into contact with, Lord. Yes, Lord, use us, Father, as ambassadors, we pray. And Lord, build up your church, Father, not only here in Inverness, but in Bedeque and in Shettycamp and in Margaree and in many places around this island, Father. We just thank you for what you're doing. And Lord, we ask for, we just give you thanks now for this time together tonight. And we just commit it all to you in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for coming, and if you're interested, there's some little information cards at the back table. If anybody wants our email address, phone number, Facebook page, Scott McPhail's got them back there. Grab one on your way out. Fellowship with one another. Praise the Lord. Thank you for coming.